In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm sure that you follow the same practice that I do, and that in the morning and in the evening, we pray the prayers that Luther gave us. And one petition, one part of that prayer in the morning and in the evening are these words. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. On this day, as we celebrate St. Michael and all angels, we are celebrating not only God's grace in the gift of angels, but also the power, the might, and the help that angels provide for us as God's people. For indeed, the ministry of angels is a sign of God's grace toward us. Grace for our time of need, grace for all the situations of life in which we find ourselves. So today we thank God for his angels, for the fact that they serve him and also serve and help us, defending us and enabling the evil one to have no power over us. As we look throughout Scripture, we see that angels are present from Genesis to Revelation. They are the invisible creation of God. They are many and mighty. Their purpose is to worship God, serve him, and help us. Angels are very real, and they are very present. As we know, they are present among us this day. For centuries, angels have been portrayed in sacred art in various ways, painting, sculpture, even the figurines that many people have in their homes and offices. Angels are found, of course, in the liturgy of the church, as well as in many hymns, not just around the Christmas season, but throughout the church year. More recently, folk religion, as I call it, which is based not on sacred scripture, but on human reason, has depicted angels in a way that is patently wrong and certainly not scriptural, like be an angel by doing a good deed. Or when a child dies, especially, parents are comforted that the child has now become an angel, which of course doesn't happen. This secularizes the sacred, and I think it detracts from the true purposes of angels, who are God's messengers and bringers of the message of grace. The Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve's fall into sin, there was a cherubim standing at the gate with a flaming sword so that Adam could not re-enter the garden and the tree of life and thereby live forever in a world of sin and death. However, very quickly we turn to the New Testament and hear the angel Gabriel announcing the coming of the Messiah. And at his birth, of course, the angels of the Lord filled the skies of Bethlehem, giving glory and praise to God. At our Lord's resurrection, the angels were there to proclaim he is risen. At his ascension, the angels were there to tell us and to announce to us that Christ will return. All of these are important parts of our faith. Jesus defeated the powers of sin, Satan, and death on the cross for us. And so as believers in Christ, we have this certainty. We know that we belong to him for now and for eternity. We are in God's hands. From the time of our baptism, when the waters of holy baptism were poured upon us, until that time when our Lord calls us to heaven. And in the words of the hymn, Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abram's bosom, bear me home. But nonetheless, the evil one still prowls this earth, as St. Peter writes, seeking someone to devour. And we live in a world that is characterized by the gloom and the darkness of sin and death. And so often, we ourselves fail, and we sin against God and one another. But the grace that is ours comes to us in water, the waters of baptism, in word, the word of our God, and in bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ in holy communion. Our God overwhelms our sin by forgiving us, by sending that sin away. He doesn't remember it, and nor should we. Well, that forgiveness earned by Christ on the cross is freely given to each of us, received by faith. And so as we consider the angels of our Lord this day and the gift of his grace, and realize that the angels are invisible except to the eyes of faith, we know that, as the word tells us, the angels see the face of our Father in heaven. They worship and adore him. These very angels protect us in body and soul. Johann Gerhardt asked this question: why do angels serve man? And he formulated four answers based on Scripture. He said, first of all, they gladly obey God's will because they are confirmed in their goodness. Secondly, our nature in Christ is raised above all angels. Thirdly, their love is pure and perfect. Hence, they joyfully serve us. And finally, because someday we shall be in heaven and join with them in praise of our great and gracious God, angels are happy to serve us here on earth. As the people of God, we delight in angels and delight in this day. We take this time to give thanks to God for the ministry of his angels, for his promise is that he will give his angels to keep us and bless us in all of our ways. He gives his angels charge over us. That's the promise and guarantee of God. And therefore, in the morning and in the evening, we can pray this prayer with confidence. Lord, let your holy angel be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.